Tap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
That's why I see emanation.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see emanation.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by the great people at Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Race Course. Use the promo code Take That. Get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. And if you like to play the ponies, I did that almost every day last week.
Did you? How'd you do?
Did all right. It was fun. I had a good time playing the ponies on the Club Hawthorne wagering app. We say good morning to our guy Snorling.
Welcome back, Cappy. Good morning, Dion.
What's up, kid?
How we doing?
We're good. Peggy and I said this on Friday, Cap, that shot or no shot makes us nervous. Like, we're going to screw it up.
Why?
Like, we're going to do it wrong. I don't know. We were both, like, nervous about it.
Weren't
we, Shay?
That you two were doing an impression of me.
Peggy was. It was
Peggy
great.
Was.
Yeah,
Peggy
was.
Yeah,
she was nailing it.
I'm surprised we haven't had that audio played this morning.
I haven't heard it.
As I told Cap, there's only one Cap.
I asked Danny, hey, man, I heard they did a funny, oh, it was hilarious. I go, will you send it to me? He goes, yeah, I'll get it sent to you right away. Still waiting.
Danny has too many things on his to-do list. It's okay.
Danny's a busy man.
Busy man.
Okay, go ahead, Snorling.
All right, I want to get started with the Chicago Bears. ESPN released their NFL power rankings for the next three seasons, and the Chicago Bears checked in at 30th ahead of just Carolina and Atlanta. The ranking cites the lack of skill position talent outside of Darnell Mooney, making life more difficult on Justin Fields, who they believe needs to have talent around him to kind of flourish into a star quarterback. But it did also concede the Bears could make improvements with $100 million in cap space next season and shoot up this ranking. So shot or no shot, the Bears should rank much higher than 30th with the cap space available to them this coming offseason.
No shot, because we don't know what they're going to do with the cap space. We don't have any idea. Based on where they're at today, yeah, the future looks bright a year from now. That team's going to be horrible.
For more than one season.
Probably right.
No, it's going to be, it's going, they are properly cast at 30th.
It's amazing to me. And again, I was no Matt Nagy guy. Nice man.
Very nice.
Not a great football coach. I'm amazed the number of intelligent football people that are on Twitter going, oh, we just got rid of Nagy. That's all that mattered. Now we're going to win 8, 9, 10 games.
Oh, please. People. Pull up the Bears roster right now and tell me where the talent is that's going to win that many games.
Or just look at what they did in the offseason, which was nothing.
Nothing.
They picked a lane, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Tommy and Sylvie kept saying they're closer to a rebuild than they are to the playoffs.
Yes.
And I said, I think there's more talent on the roster if you would add on. Their lane got picked, not mine.
Yeah.
Theirs did. So, I mean, Allen Robinson, out of here. Who'd you replace him with?
Nobody.
Equanimeous St. Brown?
Yeah, no.
I mean, stop.
Bayless Jones.
Yeah. He's a third-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he'll be good. Maybe he won't. They don't even have their second-round safety signed yet.
Right.
I mean, come on.
No, I'm with Cap. No shot.
No shot.
Well, Cap, I'm glad you brought that up because it's a perfect segue. Bears' second-round draft pick, Jaquan Brisker, is an early contract holdout. The Bears have made it clear Brisker will be a day-one starter, and he will not be competing for the job. But Brisker has missed the opening days of rookie introduction at training camp while his agent negotiates over non-guaranteed money in the third year. This harkens back to Roquan Smith, who held out for 29 days his rookie year, and clearly there hasn't been a drawback from that holdout. However, Smith was only able to play 8 snaps in the opener that season. It was a 24-23 loss to Green Bay, and the defense in that game fell apart for the Bears. So my question is this, shot or no shot? It's time for Brisker to report to camp with the rest of the rookies so that he's ready for the start of the season.
No, go ahead, you go first.
I was going to say no shot. It is still July. There is still plenty of time. And this is a guy who went through rookie minicamp and OTAs, and they already have crowned him the starter. He's not going to miss a beat. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either. It's a no shot. They need to pay him commensurate with what people around him in the draft are getting. Just because they decide, well, you're the starter, you need to be here. Give him his guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I'm on the kid's side, 100%.
Quanny B, he will be there. It'll be just fine. We will be talking about him throughout this season and into the future once he is signed.
I'm hoping that the two guys they got, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, are here for the next decade.
Yes. And develop into dominant players.
Really good players.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? New Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams gave some high praise to his new quarterback, Derek Carr, over the weekend. He told CBS Sports, anytime you change quarterbacks from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. He wanted to clarify that statement after he read the article. He said, I do think that Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy, and why not? Does he have the MVPs right now? No. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. That's obviously what we're chasing. So my question, shot or no shot, Derek Carr is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure, Ted. Thanks. How'd that work out last year? Because that was before last year.
That was before last year. No shot. No shot. Now, he definitely has a Hall of Fame personality. He definitely has the charisma, but no, there's no way that his career has... You just heard they haven't won. They haven't done anything. Right. No, absolutely not.
Could he get there someday? Maybe.
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 He's been in the league a long time, Cap.
Yes. He's not a Hall of Fame player.
No.
He's not.
I love the way he knows he stepped in it too, Devontae Adams, when he makes this quote. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to really go back on what I said. I was just trying to help out my boy. But yeah, clearly he doesn't have the MVPs. He doesn't have the Super Bowl. He doesn't have the accolades. None of that stuff. I just think he can get there. No shot.
No shot. No shot.
I don't see it.
Even if they win a Super Bowl, do you think he's Hall of Fame caliber?
One Super Bowl? No.
No.
Now, if you tell me they go out and win three in the next 6 years, I guess. He's entering his ninth season.
Yeah, one feels like a one-off, not like a...
Right.
You have to make it consistent for me to get excited about saying that he would belong in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
By the way, it's like a very limited list of quarterbacks that get in. I was looking at this when people were discussing Matthew Stafford after the Rams won. I think only 27 quarterbacks have been inducted since the end of World War II. It's like an incredibly small list of guys that make it into the Hall of Fame. So for Derek Carr to not be on that list, he can still be a great QB.
Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? He was Super Bowl MVP twice.
Yeah, I know. But all the regular season stuff would say no. So it depends what you value.
Correct.
All right, the rumor mill around Kevin Durant is finally active again. Adrian Wojnarowski broke on Twitter late last night that the Boston Celtics have engaged Brooklyn in trade discussions for Durant. Shams Charania added within the last hour that the Celtics offered Brooklyn a package for Durant that included all-star Jaylen Brown and a bunch of draft picks. The Nets declined the package and issued a counteroffer. Woj's report also claimed there is not a deal that is believed to have gained traction with Brooklyn. So my question, shot or no shot, Durant will be traded before the NBA season starts in October.
Boy. I'm going to say no shot because I think they're asking for so much that they won't be able to get it.
I say there's a shot. I definitely do because I feel like there are owners out there who are willing to win at all costs.
Our guy, Joe Lynch.
The truth of the matter is, I'm about only one thing my rest of my life, and that's winning and winning championships. It's
There are owners out there who will say, this will help us make that move. Chicago will not be in the mix for this at all.
That is so sad.
It's sad, but true. You know it's true.
I mean, we have a 24-year-old 40-goal scorer multiple times. Trade him.
Right?
Hey, guess what? This Kevin Durant dude's out now.
No, nope.
Can't get him.
No,
nope. Hey,
nope.
There's this Juan Soto kid. He's 23. Nope. We don't have the pieces.
Well, does it at least make you feel better when you see that the Celtics are offering Jaylen Brown and the Nets are saying no? Like, the Bulls couldn't get him even if they wanted him.
Again, I understand all that.
Right.
But every single time there's a generational talent, we're not in the hunt.
No,
Mookie Betts is available. Oh, no, he's going to the Dodgers.
You guys, it wasn't that long ago. We were all like, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson. Just kidding. Andy Dalton.
Right.
I mean, that's Chicago.
It's always.
so annoying.
Shay.
All right, Cappy, this last one should hit very close to home for you. Ticketmaster has introduced dynamic pricing for Bruce Springsteen's upcoming tour. Premium seating tickets will fluctuate in price based on demand for the tickets. There's been a ton of backlash to this because the result is that some seats are selling for more than $5,000. One example was mid-floor seats in Tampa are selling for $4,500. To sit in the middle of the floor. Shot or no shot, Cap will still pay to go see the boss.
Yeah, that's no shot.
No,
I've seen him a billion times. I've paid face value.
Okay.
No. If that's what it's going to cost, I would love, I said to JR, if he's
going
to play in not at that price, going to play in Amsterdam.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. You guys were going to try and go.
I want to do that.
Yes.
My wife said, I heard you on the air, I'll go.
And
she doesn't like Bruce. But she's like,
I'm not a huge fan either. But it's Bruce Springsteen.
Amsterdam? Like, she's like, yeah, that'd be an amazing. The prices? Yeah, are stupid. No,
really,
I would not pay that. No.
I appreciate that.
Would not
do
it.
No, I don't think you will either.
No shot.
Would you, Dion? What's Absolutely the most you would not. Pay to go see a concert?
I was just thinking about that.
I'd pay like $5,000 to go. Like if the Tigers were in the World Series and it was at Game 7, I might like just empty the bank account to go. Or if a band is having a reunion and they haven't been around in many, many years, maybe I'd pay a lot. But for like a person who's regularly on tour, $5,000, no shot.
Our dear friend, the late Jeff Dickerson, used to always say, pay for the experiences. He was one who would, he taught me that it's important to do those things. He would say that's too expensive.
I'm not
spending that much money on that stuff. No.
Yeah.
No.
He's sitting up right now above us with his coffee going, yeah, you pay that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's insane.
It's a great experience, but you pay that.
Yeah. You pay that.
So, Shay.
That's all we got, Cappy. We're out of time.
Well, you always go over, so I'm just...
We had five questions in there. That was a solid shot or no shot. We got to stay timely. We got to do our job a little bit, make sure we have a good program here.
Okay. Nick Castellanos got into it with a very well-respected reporter in Philly. It wasn't some stumble bum there in the locker room. Nick Castellanos got into it. This reporter gives all of us a bad name in our business. And I know that people hate the media anyway. This guy's an idiot. We'll get into it.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Dion Miller's in for my guy Hoodie, who has got a few days off. We all get ready to crank it up with football.
It's nice that you're
basically back. It's good to be back. Thank
you were gone for a long time.
I was gone for 5 days.
I know. Well, it felt like a long time, yeah.
But it was fun.
I'm glad you had that time. That's awesome.
So Nick Castellanos is having a bad year with the Phillies. He got a big contract after he opted out from Cincinnati. He was always a good dude to deal with here.
Yes.
Loved him.
Loved him.
Well, he's getting...
Wasn't he every day's opening day? Isn't that him?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Exactly. Yeah. I remember Joe Maddon said, this dude brings such energy.
Oh, my gosh. He was refreshing.
Refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So he signs with the Phillies. He's not having a good year. The team gets swept by the Cubs coming out of the break, and they're in the wild card race.
Mm-hmm.
He's hearing the boos. Jim Salisbury is a... very well-respected, longtime guy with NBC Sports Philly.
He's been in that market forever.
Correct. Here's Jim Salisbury after the game.
You have a blues there when you struck out and then playing the game there?
No, man, I lost my hearing.
So you didn't hear him?
Come on, man, that's a stupid question.
Why is it a stupid question?
Can anybody else answer that for him? Anybody? Yeah, man, that's a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. If it's a stupid question... You should be equipped to answer.
All right, I did answer it. The answer should be able to handle it. We got the answer. That doesn't mean that I can't say that it's a stupid question.
It wasn't a stupid question. It's a legit question.
If I heard the booze, is that a rhetorical question? Of course, it's a stupid question. Did you hear the booze? That's a stupid question.
We got the answer. We're good. Thanks, guys. We're
close. And you should be able to handle a stupid question.
I did.
Okay, first of all, I don't know Jim.
Yeah.
I hear he's a really good dude. The question was phrased horribly.
We know what he was getting at, but it was phrased for. It felt like he was trying to bait Castellanos into the outburst that he had.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I was always taught when you're doing, like if you're having a conversation and you're just standing there, you know, talk about this. But when you are doing an interview,
right.
Like if I've done sidelines on basketball. Coach, why was your offense stifled by their defense? Coach, what will you do in the second half? How will you attack this?
Yes, yes.
Who, what, why?
Why? Yeah.
You know, if he had said to him, I know the season hasn't gone the way you wanted. Are you upset to hear fans booing you?
Yeah. Or simply like, what can you explain what has... Why you've been struggling. Something to that effect.
Nick, how did we get here? You're such a good dude to deal with. Why are they booing you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I suck right now.
Right.
Like, that would have been a good answer.
Yeah.
But the way he phrased it, he baited him.
And Nick was agitated before he even answered the question. So there could have been history there. You know what I mean? There could have been. He could have asked questions before that had kind of rubbed Nick the wrong way.
Correct.
My favorite part of that entire exchange is... the media guy being like, okay, look, clubhouse is closed, guys. Let's go.
Right.
Nice. I liked the end when Jim Salisbury said, well, you should be able to handle a stupid question.
You had the blues there when you struck out and then playing the game there?
No, man, I lost my hearing. Come on, man, it's a stupid question.
Why is it a stupid question?
Can anybody else answer that for him? Anybody? Yeah, man, that's a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. If it's a stupid question... you should be equipped to answer.
All right, I did answer it. The answer should be able to handle a stupid question. We got the answer. That doesn't mean that I can't say that it's a stupid question.
It wasn't a stupid question.
Of course, if I heard the booze, that's a rhetorical question. Of course, it's a stupid question. Did you hear the booze? That's a stupid question.
We got the answer. We're good. Thanks, guys. We're close.
And you should be able to handle a stupid question.
I did.
Well, the reason it was a stupid question is because you don't ask yes or no. You don't ask questions that can be answered in one word.
Nick, rough year.
There's so many different ways to get the...
How did we get here that you're getting booed?
Right. How did we get here that you're getting booed?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just there's
so many ways.
Yes.
That was poorly handled but on both sides. I mean, Nick was clearly upset. He didn't have a hit this weekend.
Right? Yeah, I think he had one.
One?
I think he got one hit yesterday, later in the game. I mean, you're coming out of the break... you're at home. You're like, all right, we're getting at least two against the Cubs. And you get the ever-living H beat out of you.
Yeah.
Drew Smyly, at two outs in the fifth, had a perfect game.
I know.
Marcus Stroman had a shutout in the seventh. And Friday night, you beat them 15-2.
Right. They got embarrassed this weekend. I mean.
Do you know that's the first time the Cubs have swept the Phillies in Philadelphia since 2000?
Yes. I did read that. That's insane.
That is
I thought first three-game sweep of the season.
Insane.
Trying to win them all.
I've got another great baseball stat courtesy of Chris Kamka. Do you know that eight times Eloy Jimenez has hit a home run in a Dylan Cease start?
Yes.
And they're 7-1.
That's...
7-1.
Thanks, Cubs!
No doubt.
Two guys the Cubs gave up for freaking Quintana.
I know. And now the White Sox might want Quintana back?
God.
Did you not see that?
I did. Yeah. I would move Michael Kopech to the bullpen.
Yes.
Because his innings are starting to pile up.
Yes.
He's never thrown this many innings.
No.
He's got a knee issue. He's had Tommy John surgery. I would probably move him into a high leverage bullpen role and add another starter.
That was asked of Rick Hahn on Friday. I don't remember what he said. No, I think he said that they weren't making that decision right now or something. But it was said on Friday. He was asked on Friday about that specifically.
Well, we're going to have Jesse Rogers coming up in a little while, and we'll get his thoughts on all of that again.
We had a caller in our first hour say the White Sox should... I thought this was interesting and also kind of funny. The White Sox should trade for Carlos Rodon if the Giants are interested in moving on. Giants just got swept by the Dodgers. Looks likely that they're out of the NL West race. They're going to struggle to stay in the wild card. And Rodon just hit his innings limit, so his opt-out is valid at the end of this season. He's at 111. He needed 110 to... He's at 110, and he needed 110 to hit the threshold for the opt-out to be valid at the end of this
year.
Did
you say they're out of the NL West race?
After getting swept by the Dodgers, yeah, it feels like they're fairly distant.
Where'd you park the cop car, Dick Tracy? They're 16 and a half out.
Yeah. Well, I meant they're out of the playoff race, correct.
I mean...
Dude, everybody's out of the... I mean, look at all these races, Cap. Look at the AL East, everybody's out. AL West, everybody's out. NL West, everybody's out.
Yeah. Well,
Yankees are 12 and a half up. You realize Baltimore is in the wild card race and they're 18 out in the division. First,
that's insane.
Well, what's the second place team in the East is Tampa Bay, right? And they're 13 and a half out or something?
No, 13. Second place is
second
Toronto.
Second is Toronto, 12 and a half. Cap, you know last year coming out of the All-Star break, White Sox were 19 games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to this club?
By the way, the Giants are a game over and only two games out of a wild card
spot. You imagine if the Giants say, look, it's not going to happen for us. We got a lot of expiring contracts. They try to move Rodon.
The Sox are not
imagine the White
him.
Sox brought him back and then let him walk again.
They're not going to get him. They don't believe that he's going to stay healthy. That's why they didn't sign him. That's why they didn't give him a qualifying offer.
Right, right.
So.
But I like him so much.
He's good.
He's good.
Very
good.
Solid. Very, very solid pitcher. So we'll find out. Again, the deadline is a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. Over, under, Chicago Cubs players traded 4.5. You going over or under?
Under, I think.
I'm going to go over.
You're going to go over. Last year they traded how many? Seven? Bryant, mm-hmm. Baez, Rizzo, Chafin. Who's the long-haired dude that Hoodie liked? What's the name of that guy, the outfielder? He's in Pittsburgh now.
Why can't I think of it?
He used to be with Houston.
Jake Mariznick.
Mariznick. That's five.
Oh my gosh, I forgot he
Who
was
else did they trade?
Kimbrell.
It'd be Kimbrell. Kimbrell.
Yeah, I don't know why I read it like that. I know it's Craig Kimbrell. I don't know why I read it Kimbrell.
I almost spit out my coffee right there.
That's Craig me Kimbrell. Just reading off of this monitor, and I don't know why I read it Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell.
I'm going to call him that now.
Ryan Tepera.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's seven, and I know I don't have them all.
Jack Peterson.
Eight.
Javier Baez, did you say him?
I said him.
Okay.
That's at least eight that they traded off the team last year, and I think there's nine. I think there's another reliever. That's in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, 4.5. If they trade Contreras, Hap, David Robertson, you're at 3 already.
I know.
Nobody else getting moved?
No, I would see. I'm taking the over. I'm still taking the over.
Crazy. Jesse Roger will join us with his baseball insight next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This show is flying by, Dave Kaplan.
Stupid fast.
It's so fast.
Crazy.
We have a lot to talk about.
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services, NHS. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, Sunshine, and good morning, Dion.
How are you?
I'm good, pal. Rested. Yeah. Rested, ready to go for the second half, but spent the weekend at White Sox Park, or at least Friday and Sunday I was there. So saw a little good, little bad, but that's been the White Sox all season. Little bad, little good, right? I mean, it's just been crazy how they can't push past the 500 mark. Mm. They'll get another chance this week. And the schedule lightens up, guys. That's the difference between now and last month. Let's see what they can do against lesser than teams.
What has been their biggest issue in trying to get over 500 in the inconsistency that continues? It's not just health anymore, Jesse.
No, it's a little bit of everything, Dion. It really has been. That's kind of prevented them from going nuts. But mostly, in my opinion, because pitching is the most important part of baseball, it's been on the mound. It's been the starting group. Yes, Dylan Cease has been an ace. But after that, it has been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Giolito's probably been the most surprising, right? Lance Lynn started the season hurt, so he's just getting back to form, pitched well over the weekend. That was huge. But Giolito has been up and down all year. Cueto, mostly good. To me, it's that. You look at starter's ERA, it's mid-pack. That should be top 10. Mm-hmm. It was a strength last year. It should be a strength right now. We'll find out if it will be down the stretch. But to me, it starts and ends right there because every other part of their game, yeah, there's some good and there's some bad, but that's supposed to be a strength, and it hasn't been outside of Cease.
Okay, so we've got 8 days left. 8 days. And then the trade deadline will be gone. There's no waiver deadlines. There's none of that. And today we find out about qualifying offers, correct?
Yes, we find out about the international draft, which is tied to qualifying offers. If there's a draft, there's no qualifying offer. And that impacts the north side, Wilson Contreras trade. If somehow the Cubs don't like what they hear, at least in the old system, they'd get some compensation if he left at the end of the year. If they agree to an international draft today, the Cubs would get nothing at the end of the year if he walked. So that would make a trade even more likely. And it's going to happen anyway. I reported on Friday there was no new offer, no contract extension during the All-Star break. So unless something changes this week, and who knows, maybe Jed comes in at the last minute with some below-market offer. But unless something changes this week, he'll be gone.
So what are they going to get when he only has 2.5 months of control for the team that he goes to? I mean, is it legit that they can get a grade-A prospect?
I think they can. A grade A is, you know, maybe not a team's top prospect. But look, the Cubs got Pete Crowe Armstrong for Javi Baez, who was not having a career year, right? Wilson Contreras is. Here's the second thing. Listen to these teams. This is OPS from their catchers. Tampa Bay ranked 26th, Houston 27th, Cleveland 28th, St. Louis 29th, and the New York Mets 30th. What do those five teams have in common? They're all in the playoff hunt. I've never seen anything like this. 26th through 30th ranked in OPS from their catchers. The Mets absolutely could use one. Cleveland, where Carter Hawkins came from. He obviously knows their system really well. Mm-hmm. So 2 months ago, Cap, I would have said, nah, maybe not so much. It's a catcher, 2 months to go. But the career year he's having, and with four or five teams needing an offensive catcher, I think Jed can leverage that and they could get something decent. So my answer is yes.
So a week from now or a week from tomorrow, how different does this Cubs team look? Like, do you think they make – we counted at least 8 last year at the trade deadline. How many guys are gone? What does this roster even look like?
Yeah, I would take the over on 4.5. I wasn't quite sure a month or so ago, but there's no reason not to bottom out. First of all, you can get the number one pick. You don't even have to be the worst team to do that. Just be one of the worst three, and you have the best percentage in this new lottery. Even if you're one of the worst five, you have a 10% chance of getting the top pick. There's no reason to win games in August and September, as much as Cub fans that go to the park want to see a win. There's no reason to hang on to these relievers. Let's start there. David Robertson, Chris Martin. I think you'd probably keep Scott Efros. He's been pretty good. But Michael Givens, Robertson, Chris Martin. Maybe one of these starters. Drew Smyly pitched well, right? Stroman's pitched well. I didn't think they could pitch enough after being injured, so maybe one of those starters. Adrian Sampson has actually looked good as a fill-in. Wisdom could go. We know that. Ortega for sure is going to go. I'm pretty sure Hap's going to go. Don't know that for sure, though. And then, of course, Wilson Contreras. It's going to look very different, and if they bottom out, they bottom out. But this will certainly be the last time they sell off like this. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. After this, it's building back up to being a contender. You think about the AL and NL Central, there is no doubt the Sox and Cubs should dominate or at least be in the race every single year with three wild cards the way they're able to spend money, even though they don't always do that. You think of those other teams, they're not spenders. the Cubs should be, and this should be the last year they do anything like this.
Okay, what about the other side of town? Rick Hahn has said, I'm not going to get into speculation about players, but anytime a big name's out there, we've always made the call, which was obviously in reference to Juan Soto. So are they going to address the bullpen? Are they going to get a left-handed bat? You and I talked up when we were together in Wisconsin. What about moving Michael Kopech to the bullpen? Because his innings are getting to be beyond a career high, and he's got a bulky knee.
Yeah, I like the idea. I actually like the idea. And I was with you there, D, on Friday, and I do remember what he said.
Thank you.
Rick addressed that. He said they would only do that if health was the number one issue. They wouldn't do it out of need for the team. They would do it out of if the innings piled up or the knee was something or the arm. They would do it out of concern for his health. So maybe they'll match that up, the team and concern for him, and he ends up in the pen somehow. It's not a bad idea. Now, I don't know if I'd replace him with Quintana. If you're actually going to move Kopech to the bullpen, I'd try to go out and get Luis Castillo. Why not think bigger than Jose Quintana? Because don't you want to replace the starter with a better starter? And I know Quintana's having a good year, but he's not better than Michael Kopech, mm-hmm. You know, pound for pound. Although if Kopech's arm starts to tire, that changes the thing. But your idea is a good one, Cap, because it solves almost two problems. If you get a better starter, that's great. And it fills the need in the pen. They're absolutely looking for arms, both lefties and righties. I would not be surprised if they picked up one of each. I've heard from other teams on this. I would be surprised if they traded for Juan Soto, though they do have a starting package of, let's say, Kopech and Vaughn. They don't have a finishing package in terms of prospects. But I just don't, you know, look, the Sox trading for Soto would just be a shocker of all shockers. But trading for the best arm or two on the market in terms of relievers, that wouldn't be a shock. They did it last year. So, yeah, let's assume a week from now the Sox are going to add a couple arms, and it's much needed because the starting staff is not eating up as many innings as they'd like.
All right, Jesse, we've been talking about this all morning. Why? Why are we not in the mix for a Juan Soto? Why are we operating like small market operation in Chicago? Why does that continue to happen? Why?
Well, I mean, MLB ranks the Sox at least going into the season with the 30th ranked farm system. I don't think the 30th ranked farm system gets the trade done for Juan Soto. Now, things change in season. Colson Montgomery moved into the top 100 prospects. Maybe you could do quantity over quality. Look, I don't disagree. I think they proved it last year. They went into a room and said, who's the best arm on the market? And it was Craig Kimbrel. It didn't work out, but they went and got the best arm. I think they'll make that phone call to Mike Rizzo. It actually would make sense for the Sox. They're one team that could use a shakeup in their lineup, especially a left-handed bat. Like, if you tear apart the Yankees or Dodgers right now, you could be messing with something. Those teams have 10-game leads. Not that they wouldn't take Juan Soto. The Sox actually should be desperate for a guy like him.
Yes.
So I can't say no for sure, but a 30th-ranked farm system is probably not going to get a deal done. If you want to give up three key major leaguers, maybe that happens, and they have to be young, and it has to be more than Eloy, because that's a guy that's injury prone. So Vaughn and Kopech, it would be a starting, you know, situation. Then maybe a third. I don't know. I mean, you're going to give up TA. I mean, at some point, it's too much, right? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like the match isn't there because of prospects. But I don't doubt that they'll make that call, because for the Sox, it's a 2-year rental, right? Jerry's not paying $500 million. That's not happening.
No.
But you'd have a 2-year window with them, except I just don't think there's enough in the farm system to do it.
Jesse, have a great rest of your day. It was a lot of fun hanging with you in Wisconsin, man.
I wasn't going to end this call without saying thank you to you, Cap. We had a great time, Guff, Garfine, and Rogers in Wisconsin with Mrs. Rogers. What happens in Wisconsin stays in Wisconsin, but if you go to Tracy's Facebook, I'm sure she'll tell you everything you need to know.
I cooked a good dinner, didn't I?
You did well. I want to make fun of you, but I can't. You're a great host. We had steak. We had salmon. And, we had lobster tail. It was delicious. Crab legs. It was delicious.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a good. Yeah. I got to say.
This guy's running a gourmet restaurant up there.
He was. Yep. And look, and my wife said this. It looks like you've owned that place for 10 years. You really did a good job in a short amount of time, so I got to give you credit. Place felt very homey. And Dion, you're invited anytime, even though it's not my place.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've already told her that.
I know. I would love that. It'd be so fun.
Jess, have a great day.
Thanks again, Cap. Talk to you guys later.
We'll see you. Yeah, there's a Jersey Mike's when you guys are coming up. We'll bring in Jersey Mike's.
That's probably true. I know you're joking right now, but that's probably true.
You have no idea.
He would not. You would not.
I cooked. Dude, you have no idea how much I love to cook.
Yeah. Me too. We should have a grill off, Cap, you and me.
Let's do it.
I love hosting. I love doing that. I love setting the table. I love providing the whole meal. I love it.
It's the best.
So much fun.
The best. We'll get into that. And a Cardinals analyst mixed up some names on a post-game TV show.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
On a beautiful Monday morning, my great friend Dion Miller is in for Hoodie. He'll be back on Thursday. Jesse will be here in the next couple days. Watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's brought to you by the Jim Irsay Collection. A Cardinals analyst.
This is great.
Al Hrabowski, the Mad Hungarian, as they called him. That was his nickname. So he's on the air on Fox Sports Midwest. And here is what happens on the post-game show.
But a show. I feel like he dresses up with another member of the Anchorman movie every
single
time.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, right. You know, wasn't it the, who was it that wore the cowboy hat with Ron Jeremy?
Well, I think that Michaelis has interesting outfits throughout the season, right? He's always showing up wearing something fun.
Ron Burgundy.
That's right. All right, we got plenty more coming up. I'll be right back.
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Whoops.
So Al Hrabowski thought, so Miles Michaelis, the Cardinal pitcher, had a cowboy hat on. He's got the mustache, and he looked like Champ Kine, the guy from Anchorman, the sports guy. Whammy! And he called him Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
The porn star.
Yeah. I just think it's hilarious that Ron Jeremy is the first name that popped into our man's head.
Correct.
Whoops-a-daisies.
It sounded real natural popping out of that mouth, too. Who wore the cowboy hat with Ron Jeremy? I bet a lot of people. Not quite sure in the moment, but I bet a lot of people.
Poor Alexa. She heard it, and then she was like, am I supposed to laugh at him?
Do you know her?
I correct him? Not personally. I mean, I know friends of friends, you know. She's very good. But she was like, I'm sure it was that moment of like, did he just say that? How do I handle this?
Well, she clearly broke, too. She just immediately starts giggling. Sure. Couldn't collect her, so I get it.
That's very funny.
So, Alexa Dat, right?
Yes.
Isn't that her name?
Yeah. Her I think it's her first season with the Cardinals.
But a show. I feel like he dresses up with another member of the Anchorman movie every single
time. Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, wasn't it the, who was it that wore the cowboy hat with Ron Jeremy?
Well, I think that Michaelis has interesting outfits throughout the season, right? He's always showing up wearing something fun.
Ron Burgundy.
That's right. All right, we got plenty more coming up. We'll be right back.
Gonna be Alexa Dat.
There it is.
Al Hrabowski, and it's Ron Burgundy.
There it is. We got there eventually.
Champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
So funny.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome.
And by the way, it's Bally Sports Midwest. They changed from Fox to Bally.
Do you know, it's one of my favorite things on the air when we naturally laugh at each other and ourselves. It's my favorite thing.
It's the best.
I feel like we do some funny stories, especially like on our Sunday nights in the second half hour. We do some things that make me laugh out loud. And I think Ravi Bejwal can be so funny the way he delivers a line. And I'm in the background laughing. Sometimes I think they should open our mics so we can have that real interaction. I love that part.
I am a huge Ravi Bejwal fan.
He's so wonderful.
You know, I stopped Idler in the hallway here after the Highland Park tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I said, hey, dude, you just need to know something. That Ravi Bejwal, that guy's amazing.
Amazing.
I was locked in going channels, and I could not stop watching him then.
He's amazing.
In.
He's amazing. Yeah. His career is unbelievable. And just last night I was thinking this. I'm like, he's too good to be on the weekends, but I'm so glad he is. You know what I mean? Like,
but he's also
wonderful.
A family guy.
Oh my gosh.
Huge.
Could not
guy.
Be more proud of his incredible children. His wife is so lovely. They are a fantastic family. Yeah,
there
he's
you go.
He's pretty awesome. But I do love when we all laugh. And him and Phil Schwartz are like brothers.
Yes.
They argue like it's awesome.
It's pretty funny. 312-332-3776. We have to get into the Bears orange helmets on top of the rankings over the projections for the next three NFL seasons where the Bears rank 1 to 32. I can tell you it's not 1.
We can confirm it's not 1. And I was surprised by the outrage over these alternate helmets.
Correct.
I was stunned that we're bothered that much by what's on their heads as opposed to their actual play on the field.
Have you seen, there's like 10 teams, I think,
yes.
are doing alternate helmets.
I like the all black from the Panthers.
I think it's the Panthers. The
yeah,
Bengals
I like that.
Went white. There's some cool helmets.
There's some cool stuff. No, it's cool. Look, again, I come back to, well, we can get into it. We have to get to break, yes.
We'll get into the Bears orange helmets and where they are projected to be over the next three seasons. Where do they rank 1 to 32? We'll tell you about that all in 2 minutes.